Lori, we're back for another episode of the Travel Vertical Podcast. How are you doing today?
Very well, Adam. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. You know, the 2 weeks in between always seems longer and longer every time for some reason.
Oh, yeah, because there's always so much going on.
There is. It has been a busy couple of weeks in the industry. And it's funny because it feels like we just wrapped up kind of trade show season. And then I look at my calendar in September and October and it's like, oh, no, it's just begun.
Yeah, that's true. Forget it. So the dog days of August are not so slow.
That's right. Well, Lori, I know you've been working hard updating the Travel Vertical newsletter this week, and there's a lot going on. So let's dive in. First of all, there's a lot of people on the move. Tell me what you're seeing.
Yeah, there are. I should mention Tennessee. Brian Wagner has left. Now, he was the assistant commissioner of marketing for the last 7 years. And Tennessee did some amazing digital programming during that period. Lots of award-winning stuff, including awards from the eTourism Summit. But you know, if you miss those, maybe I should even do a roundup of some of the standouts. But they had some amazing things. But anyway, Brian's left. He's starting his own agency, and specifically, he wants to work with DMOs around music. So I think we'll be seeing more of that, you know, like we did with Sonoma, where what does your destination sound like, which was an earlier podcast.
Right. Interesting. Okay. What else?
Well, anybody want to be a CEO? So heads up on what's going to be a vacancy at Visit Spokane. Is that how you say Spokane?
Yes. It is.
Washington. So Meg Winchester's leaving. She's retiring January 1 after a 30-year career that included San Diego Convention Center and Galveston Island Convention and Visitors Bureau. And a search is now underway for the next leader at Visit Spokane.
Great destination.
Yeah, good to know about these things, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So, there's some other movement. People that work with CrowdRiff might wish to know there's a new vice president of marketing who I spoke with on a Zoom call last week, and he's lovely. So you see his nice picture here. Kashim is his name, but we call him Cash. And that's interesting because he does come from outside travel and tourism. He was at Shutterstock and he was at Fiverr and did other brands in marketing.
Both pretty significant brands that he was with before.
Yeah. But there's a lot, like always, you know, there's a lot of people going into tourism from the outside, and there's a lot of people leaving, going to the private sector. And there's more of that coming up this week that we have yet to, we'll publish it in this newsletter that where you read about this podcast.
Yeah, a quick teaser is that I just heard about a friend of mine who was actually in my CDME cohort with me. Liz Mabe is moving on from Puerto Rico to Miles Partnership.
Yeah, that's right. She announced that just this week. And she's among those who have switched from the DMO side to the private sector side, probably specifically to handle DMO accounts.
Yeah. Well, and anytime there's a shift like that from people going from the DMO side to the private side, what's going to result is a bunch of open jobs in the industry. So what open jobs, Lori, are you seeing right now that people may want to take a look at?
Lots, Adam. I mean, in a word, lots. In two words, lots jobs. Well, there's a lot of jobs at Visit Seattle. You know, the CEO there is fairly new, so she's changing things. There's a new role at Visit Seattle on top of the ones we've already published, and that is Senior Vice President of Community Engagement and Public Affairs. And people who have listened today to Visit Durango and our guest, Rachel Brown, will see how come, you know, roles like that are becoming more common. So Senior Vice President of Community Engagement and Public Affairs, great title.
Great.
There's another one in Las Vegas that's new. Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority is looking for a Vice President of Brand and Integrated Marketing.
That would be quite the position, Lori. I mean, the Las Vegas brand has such a far reach that it would be actually, I think, challenging to leave your legacy or impact in that role. And I think it's a challenge that for the right person could be really exciting.
Yeah, massive job, right? What was their tagline that they used for like 20 years?
The what happens in Vegas?
Yeah. And it not only won in tourism, but I mean that won at, you know, the Cannes Festival and all kinds of international branding competitions.
Absolutely.
Big job. Do you love history? Do you love heritage? Do you love the American Revolution? There's a chief marketing officer role at Visit Williamsburg in Virginia. So much fun.
Another really unique position.
Anyway, there's another one in Utah. We mentioned it, but it looks to me like they closed it on the 16th of August and reopened it back up, marketing and communications director. So unless they've recently accepted a candidate, that is open. Director of communications at Visit Corpus Christi in Texas. And is another one for community and partner relations manager, and that one is Greater Zion Convention and Tourism Office. Did I say that right?
Maybe a little less emphasis on the second half of the word. I think Zion is how most people will say it.
Got it. Well, don't ask a Brit to say Maryland.
You will, well, now I want to hear what the normal pronunciation would be for a Brit.
Well, Maryland.
Okay, that makes sense. I don't think that's a wild pronunciation.
Public relations manager, new job, Wyoming Office of Tourism.
Man, a lot of good stuff in the West.
Well, you know, there is, and there's a corporate communications manager role at Visit Phoenix, and there's a media relations coordinator role at Visit San Antonio. And that person will be busy in that new role since they're going to host IPW next year. You know, or if you are a highly skilled reporter, go write about travel tech for Skift in a remote role.
Wow. Well, lots of jobs as usual out there. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, Lori, is it?
No, because I'm writing up 200 jobs every week. And I keep checking that, you know, which ones are open, which ones might have closed. So everybody can help us by sending an email to Lori, L-A-U-R-I-E, at thetravelvertical.com. And you don't have to pay for these listings. So let us know what's open. Let us know what's not. And let us know who's moved around. We'll publish
Perfect.
It. Yeah, because nobody has a Rolodex anymore on their desk, right?
That's right. But, you know, Lori updates these jobs on a weekly basis on thetravelvertical.com. So make sure you go check that out, because every day, there's new additions and subtractions to that list. And Lori, I think you do such a great job of curating it and putting it all together.
Thank you, Adam.
Well, Lori, I think it's time we get to our guest. We've got a great guest today.
I know, Adam, we've invited Rachel Brown. She's the executive director of Visit Durango in Colorado.
I know, Rachel. I'm really excited to chat with her today. She's been a guest on my show on the Destination Marketing Podcast. And Rachel, thanks for joining us today on the Travel Vertical Podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Lori and Adam. I'm a regular listener of the podcast and longtime listener of all of Adam's podcasts. So really happy to be here.
Oh, well.
That sounds like Adam Stoker overload, Rachel. I think you might need a little bit of a break.
No such thing.
All right. So, you know, full disclosure, we didn't know that before we invited you, Rachel, but it's lovely to hear. And of course, we want to talk about, well, first of all, how tell us about you. How did you end up at Visit Durango? Because you were in San Francisco before that, no?
Yeah, so I'm executive director in Visit Durango. I've been here about 3 years, but previously, as you know, I was at Visit Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco and then Visit Oakland before that. So I've been in tourism marketing for about 10 years, you know, self-proclaimed travel addict. So it was natural that I ended up in tourism. But moving from San Francisco to Durango was a bit of an interesting switch. I just found that I was living in this amazing city, but spending every weekend driving to the mountains or the river or the lakes. And I was like, why am I not living in the mountains? So made a major life shift, ended up in Durango and couldn't be happier. It's an amazing spot.
So I think Durango is a beautiful destination. I used to, my parents lived in Lubbock, Texas. And so I would make this drive from Provo, Utah, all the way down through the corner of Colorado. We would stay in Durango a few times on our way to Lubbock. And then actually, every time we would go through it, it's like, we've got to come back here and spend some time because it's a beautiful destination. And we would get there as the snow was falling, you know, around Christmas time when we'd go visit my parents at Christmas. Tell us about Durango as a destination and what makes it unique.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it on the head. The scenic beauty here year round is really something that captivates a lot of people, where the high alpine desert meets the mountains. So we like to say that you can go skiing in the morning and mountain biking in the afternoon. In the winter, it's this really unique climate, kind of this sweet spot in southwest Colorado, a little bit off the beaten track. But we're really well known for outdoor recreation, a major mountain biking destination. We have a great arts and culture history and heritage scene. The Durango and Silverton Narrow Gauge Railroad is here. And then we're also close to Mesa Verde National Park, which is a really unique national park with these ancient cave dwellings that I haven't seen at any other national park. So it's a fun one to visit for sure.
Sounds like I could leave the stilettos at home.
Yeah, you don't find a lot of heels here. We're definitely more of a Tevas and hiking boots kind of place. So
very cool. And you mentioned year round. So don't just think of it about winter.
Yeah, actually, we get a lot more visitation in summer. And one thing that we'll probably touch on later is that Visit Durango is really trying to even out the curve of visitation because we have a lot to offer spring, fall, and every season.
So Durango, it's interesting because Durango is in kind of the southern corner of Colorado. And so I would imagine you're pretty far removed from, you know, Denver and Colorado Springs and Fort Collins, those main areas of Colorado. And yet you get a ton of visitation. So I'm curious, where does the majority of your visitation come from? Is it still a Colorado audience, or are you pulling from, you know, New Mexico, Arizona? What's the main draw or market that you're drawing from?
Yeah, it depends on the month, but most of the time our biggest market is in-state Colorado. But it's funny that you mentioned coming from Texas, because we actually get a lot of drive visitation from Texas, and then all of the neighboring states, also a decent chunk from California, oddly enough. Mm. So people make the trek from California over to Durango as well.
Well, one of the things we wanted to talk to you about today, Rachel, and I should mention before going any further, congratulations, because I understand.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've got the DMO seat on the governor's advisory board for Colorado Office of Tourism, if I said all my thing correctly there.
Yeah, that was a really exciting appointment. I found out a couple months ago that Governor Polis's office had chosen me for the Colorado Tourism Office Board. They're part of OEdit here, so they are a government entity. And it's the one DMO seat, so you know, a lot of pressure to represent all the destinations in the state, but also a really exciting moment for Durango. You know, sometimes people feel like we get a little forgotten here because we're in this corner of the state, you know, about 6 hours from the capital, and we're a medium-sized destination. But I think this is really great recognition for Durango and La Plata County that we're definitely on the map and we're an important piece of the fabric of the state's tourism. So we're really excited.
A follow-up to that, Rachel, if I may, because it's going to lead us into much of the conversation we wanted to have with you this morning. And that is, what are the themes? If you've done a listening tour because you have that one DMO seat on the governor's council and you need to know from everybody, you know, what's going on, what are the main themes? I mean, I'm going to guess over tourism and I'm going to guess sustainability are two of the things that other destinations, including your own in Colorado, need to want to bring to the table. Is that right? Or is there something else that's really a pillar and a top line conversation?
You definitely hit it. Sustainability is a key one. I'd also say this general shift from just destination marketing to destination management. You know, Visit Durango, we call ourselves a DMMO. And I'd say that's a theme I see a lot of as well, over tourism as it relates to sustainability. And then also just something that I've heard a lot throughout the state, and I don't think it's unique to Colorado, is staffing shortages is a major pain point for a lot of people right now. So just finding ways that we can help the individual destinations with that issue is something that we'd like to tackle as well.
So Rachel, I've got a question about over-tourism, because it's a word that I do agree that there's destinations that struggle with over-tourism. Sometimes I feel like that might be a lazy word. And what I mean by that is, in a lot of cases, the issue is less over-tourism and more a visitor distribution problem, where you've got 90% of the visitors go to 10% of the destination, and there's very little work being done to distribute those visitors throughout the destination. So how do you evaluate whether you have an over-tourism problem or a visitor distribution problem?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think something a lot of us learned through the pandemic is that our number one customer client is the resident of our destination. And so a key way that we can understand how close we are or whether we have surpassed that over tourism mark is polling the residents of our destination, and also key stakeholders and businesses and elected officials, of course. But, you know, in Durango, we'd heard some whisperings, maybe we have a bit of an over tourism problem. But then one thing that we've found really helpful is just looking at the data. So we subscribe to Datafy, which tracks, you know, mobile phone usage. And so we're able to actually put the numbers behind just anecdotal kind of feedback that we hear in the community. And so what we found here is 3 years ago, the split was 31% of our visitation in off-peak and 69% in peak. And we consider peak is May through October, and off-peak is November through April. So it's kind of a six-month split. So you can see that we definitely had a weighted issue towards those more summer months. And we've done a lot of work here at Visit Durango to try and offset that. And the last year we measured last year, and it was 40% in off-peak and 60% in peak. So we've been able to shift 3% of our visitation from peak to off-peak, and that really seems to help things. You know, it's a much more even flow for the businesses and the economy in town. Jobs are less seasonal. They're able to employ people year-round, and just a lot of other benefits you can imagine that go along with that. So,
yeah, that's good. I we'll publish that case study I think you've got there with Datafy, so people can read more about that. I'm also sensitive to what people call things. You know, sometimes I wonder if we called off-peak peak and we swapped the two things around, if maybe people would just book it a different time. And maybe if we didn't call shoulder season shoulder, but we called it some other name, people might think, well, that sounds good. Go then. So I just wonder about that sometimes. They might find that doesn't work at all when they get there and the weather is not like what they packed for, but it's a thought, because we do fall into that, don't we? You know, peak, off peak, and shoulder. And we never sort of question, what are we calling it? And does that have an impact?
Yeah, in Durango, people used to call it shoulder season because there was this assumption that our high season was summer and winter, because, you know, we have the ski resort, we have a lot of visitation in winter. But when you actually look at the occupancy trends and the visitation numbers, it wasn't a shoulder, it was a peak and an off peak very distinctly. So there's a lot of education that we're able to do with this data, which is really valuable.
Rachel, you mentioned the importance of visitors in this process, and that ultimately your job is to make the quality of life for the visitors better. I'm wondering what work you're doing now that you're finding this data and that you're working to kind of move the needle and spread out your visitation so that it's not just peak and off peak, but actually a better seasonal distribution. How are you now engaging the residents to make sure that they're aware of the work that you're doing, and also they understand the value that they get from it?
So we do a lot of stakeholder education throughout the community, presentations to our different community groups. But a lot of what we do is we actually include residents as part of our customer segment, and we do some advertising and marketing in market, which I know is kind of unique for a DMO. Yeah. But we find that with our responsible tourism initiatives, that it's not just the visitor that needs to be educated on a lot of this. This is new to a lot of locals as well. Granted, we do have a lot of savvy residents on a lot of these topics, but there's opportunities for everyone to be educated a little further on some of these things like backcountry safety, responsible trail usage. So we actually do marketing in market for our responsible tourism campaign. It's called Care for Durango. And we have these different monthly themes, and we'll have banners up over Main Street, ads in the local paper that all lead back to these blogs and educational pieces. So for example, April was Be Aware, Recreate with Care. June was Know Your Impact on the Ecosystem. This month, the theme is Protect Our Waters, and it's kind of seasonal. So by the time we get to December, the theme is shifted to avalanche awareness. But I find even as we're researching some of these topics, I'm learning new things, and I'm, you know, a kind of an expert on sustainable tourism. So the fact that we can help educate people, I think the locals appreciate that as well.
Yeah, I love that, with a banner on Main Street.
Yeah, we have a big vinyl banner up over Maine that says, you know, be aware, recreate with care. And that's something that not just the visitors can learn from. So
nice placement. I like that.
Thank you.
So shifting gears a little bit, Rachel, I want to go back to your recent appointment because I think that's really interesting. And as soon as you said it, the weight of your responsibility there kind of hit me because you, like we mentioned before, are in the southern part of Colorado, maybe separated a little bit from most of the other DMOs, and the responsibility that comes along with understanding the priorities that are not just Durango's priorities, but actually the priorities for the destinations throughout the state. How do you figure out and understand which issues to prioritize and take to the governor? Because I'm sure that you don't get to dominate the conversation in those meetings, and you have to kind of pick and choose your spots if it's like any other political meeting that I've seen in the past. So tell me a little bit about your approach to that and how you decide what you're going to push forward and really make a priority.
Yeah, you're definitely right, Adam. It is a 15-member board. There's 11 industry representatives and 4 state legislators. To be up front with you, I've only actually been to one meeting so far. So, you know, I'm still learning the ropes, but I'm really excited that one thing that I'm already helping with is the strategic direction of the office. They're working on this document that they call their roadmap. A lot of us would call it a strategic plan, but they're working on their next iteration of that and really seeing the strategic pillars that they've put in place. Is exciting. It goes back to that shift from just the marketing to the more management focused approach. So the pillars in the current draft, I hope I'm not giving anything away here, but economic vitality, destination stewardship, and industry leadership. And I think when you hear those, you can tell it's not just this kind of heads in beds, economic focused marketing solely. It's this more responsible stewardship approach. And I think they're doing a great job of mirroring what the different destinations in the state are craving, I guess. And one way that I stay in touch with the different destinations in the state is through the different associations we have. So they're all, you guys are familiar with lots of these acronyms, but CADMO and TIAC. So CADMO is the Colorado Association of Destination Marketing Organizations. And that is the more marketing side of things. And then there's TIAC, which is the Tourism Industry Association of the Colorado, that is the more advocacy, lobbying, political, legislative association. So I'm a very active member of both of those groups. We actually hosted the annual CADMO meeting here in Durango this last summer. So that was exciting to host everyone. But I will say, not to knock on California, but one thing I've noticed coming from California to Colorado is that Colorado is so collaborative and cooperative, and we share information with each other, and we call each other and text, and we're all in really close contact, sharing best practices, sharing feedback, sharing what's worked, what hasn't. And I found, and I think it makes sense, California, there's just so many more destinations that it's a little bit more competitive. But that's been something that's really refreshing, joining the Colorado group, is just how open and collaborative they are.
Well, plus all those acronyms. I mean, they sound like things you could put in your backpack and you could snack on them when you're hiking.
And that's what we like to do here, snacks while hiking.
Well, Rachel, this has all been really interesting, and I appreciate you sharing a lot of this with us. I'm wondering if there's anything that maybe Lori and I haven't asked you that you think would be beneficial for our audience to hear.
One thing I can touch on is this concept that is related to stewardship and sustainability, which is focusing on this ideal visitor. I know in the past, you know, a lot of DMOs just did the shotgun marketing approach, tried to get anyone into town who would spend a buck. And that was the end goal. And that's kind of where the relationship with the consumer ended. But we have a more nuanced approach, I think a lot of us do these days, that is this more conscientious traveler. So economics, I think, is still an important piece of it. We want people with disposable income who can help contribute to the local economy. But if anything, more important these days is the sustainably minded traveler, you know, someone who cares about the planet and the local culture and understands some of these concepts around what it means to be a responsible traveler. We also like visitors who contribute in some way to diversity of the destination. And then one I know a lot of destinations are focused on these days is the drivers of dispersion, which for us is really important because we are trying to shift a lot of that visitation from peak to off-peak. So we can disperse the visitors in time throughout the seasons, or maybe throughout the week. Maybe they come more midweek, but we can also disperse them in space. So rather than, you know, visiting all the same attractions and the same places that everyone goes, we're able to distribute them throughout the county a bit more so that the impact is felt, the positive and negative impacts are felt throughout the county, and it's a little bit more of this even distribution. So I think that's a really important piece of this stewardship and sustainability conversation, is knowing, you know, what kind of visitor will help impact your destination positively.
Wow, that's a great answer to the question, who is Durango's ideal visitor?
There it is.
Thanks, Rachel. That's perfect.
Absolutely. Rachel, we really appreciate you coming and sharing your experience with us. If people want to learn more about you or about Visit Durango or even some of the initiatives that you're working on, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Well, I'm quite active on LinkedIn, so you can just find me, Rachel Brown, at Visit Durango on LinkedIn. But then encourage everyone to check out our website, durango.org, and we're on all social medias. Visit Durango, we have a great social media presence, so come check out Durango.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Well, thanks, Lori. Another great episode today with Rachel and all the work that you do in the Travel Vertical podcast. It was a great show.
Well, thanks to our listeners, and I know you're going to remind them to leave a review, and thanks also to our readers.
And to that point, please, please, please don't forget to leave us a rating or a review. It helps us continue to bring you excellent guests like Rachel. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.